there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast. This time we are doing a little bit differently, as we feel it is time to clear the decks from the Oscar season. So we thought we would, breeze through a few of the Oscar picks and a few films we have seen recently because it was the Oscar season, and just, talk about them a little bit. First, though, Rune, let's just go right to the beer. What are you drinking, man? I see you're on the balcony there.
Yes, I'm in my balconies. It's great. I have my Icelandic sweater on. I have a scarf on.
All right.
But I thought maybe the chilled air out here could keep me awake through this recording session.
Yeah.
And wake me up even more. You know, keep me on my toes a little bit.
You need it.
Not sit there in in a cozy, warm living room or. Nah, that's not me.
Yeah. When he says Icelandic sweater, he means sheep wool sweater.
Yes.
Yes. Knitted in Iceland. That. Yes.
Yeah. With the original sheep's wool, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we need it for our snow houses and such. It's cold. It gets cold here.
It's waterproof.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really? It's also waterproof. It's really great wearing these sweaters because you can be out in the rain and nothing goes through it.
I disagree with you, sir, there.
But, really?
With that, yes, it gets it really heavy and it seeps through. I mean, you don't really know rain there in Denmark, do you?
Well, there
we
are
have actual rain here.
I've been biking around Copenhagen and Copenhagen area in the rain, and I'm completely dry underneath.
Magic sweater.
Maybe you did something to your woolen sweater.
Could be.
You know, sheep, they never get wet. Wow. Anyway, I am drinking a beer that I found really close by. This is a different shop, so it's different kinds of beers they have. This one is from Ørbæk, a brewery, and it's called Organic Ginger Brew.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's a ginger beer, but it's an actual ginger beer.
Cool. That sounds good, actually. I never had one of those, so...
No, I was surprised because it I know ginger ale and it's nice as a
what's the refreshing volume?
4.6.
Cool.
So not a lot of fizz in it though.
Okay.
It smells like ginger ale. I if this is really bad, I also got what do you call what was his name? Not Bob Hoskins. Anthony Hopkins.
Hopkins. Okay.
No, wait a minute. No. What's his name in Blue Velvet? Frank from Blue Velvet? Okay. Well, Frank from Blue Velvet always drank Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Nice.
Yeah. So I have a more traditional beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Mm.
Afterwards.
All right.
Now I'm going to pour the ginger beer.
It's Dennis Hopper. It's Dennis Hopper, of course. Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
I was thinking Bob Hoskins.
No.
And Anthony Hopkins.
Those are really strange comparisons to Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. It's just the name.
Yeah.
You know, I...
All right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take a sip, and then I'll throw it back to you.
All right. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah? Mm.
It's fairly light. It's as if it's like a wheat beer. You
okay.
can maybe tell on the picture here.
Looks like
But it's not... It doesn't have the wheaty taste, but it's like fresh and light as a wheat beer. Not bad at all.
Cool.
I'll keep you posted throughout this show.
Yeah.
So you told me that you came with a surprise today.
Yeah, you should really insert some brass.
A fanfare.
Yeah. It's a new one for me. It's from Stuttgart. It's German. It's Hefe. Yeah. Weissen. It's a wheat beer, of course. And of course it's called Sanwald. Stuttgart's erste Weissenbier Brauerei. So it's Stuttgart's first brewery. Yeah, wheat beer brewery. So I'm excited. It's kind of big as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There we showed off our German knowledge as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
There we go.
This one is kind of strong on my tongue.
Yeah.
I can feel it burning a little bit, the ginger. It's very nice. Exactly what I need.
I have to say,
that looks good as well.
I am more used to and more inclined to like the Belgian wheat beer, but I'm excited nonetheless.
Yeah. And he's drinking. He's taking a big slurp out of his Stuttgart Hefe Weissbier.
It's very good.
And?
Yeah. It's very good.
A competitor.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be the Hoegaarden glass I have it in. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty good.
This will take us through the Oscar show.
Okay. We need some
strong
stuff to get through this. Okay, let's do it. Okay. Before we do that, though, do we have some news? I mean, what's going on?
Any news?
Yeah.
You know, I'm at the same place as I was before.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have finally handed over the keys for our old apartment.
Yeah.
So now we're officially living in our new apartment, and we don't have another residence anywhere. So so this feels really good. This is the beginning of a new era, and we're going.
Feels like home.
It's starting to.
Yeah.
I still have a I still have a weird feeling walking around in this area because it's fairly downtown-ish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of life going on here.
So it has a hipster feel.
Slightly.
There's a microbrewery on the bottom floor of your building, or
not a microbrewery, but a bar and a wine bar, and there's some bars around, and very close by there's a really good cinema, and there is a microbrewery called Toil, that makes loads of weird beer. Kind of like Mikkeller. Do you know Mikkeller?
No.
Okay, that's also a microbrewery from Denmark. You can get those in Iceland, though.
All right.
Yeah. A lot of life going on right outside our door.
Yeah.
But we love it. But it takes some time, settling in to actually living here.
How is Elling doing? When is she set? When's the date?
1 month.
Jeez.
1 month.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's okay?
Mm-hmm. She's, good.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I mean, her body is taking the toll of carrying around a big baby, of course. But she's doing really well.
Yeah, any son of yours is going to be tough to carry.
Maybe. So far, he's sticking to the norm, let's say.
Yeah.
she's doing really well, but starting to feel she wants to relieve herself of this burden.
I'll tell you, Shepton is not having such a easy time now. It's just much more difficult than the last pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's just very tired and achy and and it's just it's been tough, especially for the past couple of weeks. We have pretty much a new kitchen.
Yeah, that happened like in 2 weeks. My mother-in-law, who was the boss, she came in here and said, we're going to do the kitchen. And we were, all right, okay. So, yeah.
But you had plans of doing the kitchen.
Not before she came in, but we had long-term plans to do it at some point. Yeah,
okay,
but
okay.
But I tell you though, it looks cool now. We have black, I have a black kitchen, new tabletops, and just stylized. She's like a genius stylist person to you know. She's good to know her. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. All right.
Similarly, well,
congratulations
turned three.
With
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, similarly, turned three.
Well, congratulations
well,
to him
you.
As well.
Thank you. we had like 31 guests here on Sunday, 2 days ago. And yeah.
You had a superhero cake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking maybe poor Shep, it's been tough. I mean, we were basically without a kitchen for a week. And no running water in the kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we had to plan the birthday and do everything and long days. And she's just, she's pregnant. And
yeah.
It's been interesting, but hopefully it's we'll get some normality now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next couple of months.
Just yeah.
Easy. Sailing.
Yeah, well, one more thing. I have been, me and Simile have been doing some sleep training.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. He is now training to, well, he's practicing, we call it. He's practicing going to sleep alone in his bed. So I'm just outside and he goes to sleep alone. We have a quality time before we read some books and then he goes to sleep and I'll go outside the room. And when I go to bed, I go to bed on a mattress in his room. See, it's twofold.
Yeah.
We also need him to get used to sleeping through the night in his own bed.
Okay.
That is something he has never done before we started this.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always...
But he is doing that now.
Well... He doesn't like, he doesn't, I stop him, you know. See, when he stops trying to, you know, get into bed with me or his mother in the middle of the night, I can go back to my own room because he just needs a new routine that he's comfortable with. And then, of course, he's welcome in our bed, you know, whenever, but he needs to learn that what is normal here.
Yeah.
So I would be lying if I said there had nothing been going on over here.
Yeah. So you go to sleep next to him. Do
when
you then
when
sleep
I go
through
sleep.
The night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he tries. It's been a week now. He's always tried to, like in the middle of the night, like get into with me or. Yeah. Like scream for his mother and try to get past me and you know, but it's coming along.
You shall
along.
Not pass.
Yeah, you shall not
you say.
Pass.
Yeah, yeah. And then once he's going back to sleep, then you go to your bed or
no,
do you keep sleeping on the mattress?
Yeah, I I sleep on the mattress and once he will just sleep through and stop trying. So that's my cue for going back to sleep in my own bed. You see, this is, we actually, I talked to a professional at the state hospital.
Yeah.
He just gives advice and this is the way apparently.
Okay.
In our situation, because he's like three and he's gotten used to like being able to touch us to sleep, you see? No, we're there with him. So that needs to change. It's for his sake, you know.
Yeah. It's the same here, you know. Reshkva is so used to like fondling our ears or holding our hand or something. It's getting better. She after she started kindergarten, she's getting really, really tired and is basically just passing out. And she also just got her own bed. We got her a big bed for herself.
Big girl bed. Nice.
A big girl bed in her new room that she's going to share with her little brother at some point. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is that we thought it would be a problem making her sleep in her own room. Mm-hmm. But once she got this big girl bed, she just wanted to sleep there.
Nice.
So the first day she woke up like 3 o'clock in the night and came into us.
Yeah.
And next day she slept until 6 o'clock and came into our bed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now she's just like, she's coming during the night, but sometimes it's later and sometimes it's earlier, you know.
See, with Simile, he was just coming like 11.
Okay.
Every time.
Yeah.
Just the first, because they like, I think everybody just gets a little rumskar, you know, where the sleep gets lighter. At like every 60 minutes, 90 minutes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you'd like turn and toss and you basically wake up. And every time that happens, he's just like, where are they?
I'm out of here.
You know? And I don't know. If it was 6 a.m., I mean, that's fine. That's good. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's completely fine. Also that she comes during the night, you know, at some point when you're just lying there sleeping, you know, but still. Okay. It's just really good for her to sleep in her own bed in the beginning. So, yeah. Great new era here.
All right.
It sounds like you're having a lot of fun doing that
stuff.
Oh,
it's fun. Fun. Funsies.
Yeah. So, did you watch any of the Oscars?
No, of course not.
No.
Of course
did not. Did you watch Olivia Colman's acceptance speech?
I did not. I'm just extremely pleased and surprised she won, even though she was like amazing.
And she was obviously the choice everyone should go for, but
obviously.
I haven't seen any of the Oscars either, but I had to see the acceptance speech from Olivia Colman, and it's as perfect as you would expect, because she's just so amazed that she won this award and it's so genuine and I just love her even more.
Yeah, she's just this genuine person and
she's so out of her element, you know, being at an Oscar show,
I guess.
Like that. It's she's not the same kind of actor. I mean, she's a I don't want to say anything, but she's a real actor, you know?
She's,
you know, she's in it for the acting.
I would agree to that. If you're interested, she did an interview, a podcast with, David Tennant.
Yeah.
He has a podcast now.
Doctor Who?
Yeah. Former Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He talked to Olivia for about 50 minutes or something like that, or an hour. And she's great.
Should listen to that.
Yeah, you should do that.
Did you ever watch Doctor Who, by the way?
Not really. I've seen bits and pieces, but it's not really my thing.
No. I've tried getting into it a few times, but there's so many different Doctor Whos and where to start, really.
Mm.
But I have some British friends who are obsessed with it. So,
all right.
Yeah. But anyway, what was the name of this podcast?
David Tennant does a podcast with ... and then there's the name of the interviewee.
That's a very simple and straightforward name.
Yes. You know, a
maybe
lot of
we
thought
should call
into
ourselves Rune Antikve are discussing movies.
No.
With each other.
That's not good. Then again, we're not David Tennant, so.
No, exactly.
Okay. That's just go to the movies. Let's start with, Black Klansman.
Hello, this is Ron Stallworth calling.
Who am I speaking with?
This is David Duke.
Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. That David Duke? God.
Last time I checked, what can I do you for?
Well, since you asked, I hate blacks. I hate Jews, Mexicans and Irish, Italians and Chinese. But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those black rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
When's the last time they let a rookie lead an investigation? Oh, that's right. Never.
Okay.
Now, best adopted screenplay. Did it get anything else? Well, it was nominated for Best Picture, of course. We touched upon this last time, I think.
We did.
Because I saw that he made a scene. He made a scene at the Oscars, I read, that he was, yeah, when they awarded Best Picture and he didn't get it and he like kind of turned away or something.
Okay.
Kind of stupid stuff. You know, I really need to get back to and watch Do the Right Thing. I really need to do that because need to respect this man again. You know, after the whole Old Boy fiasco.
Yeah. But
this I think this film is overrated. I really have to say that. Black Klansman. Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
You know. I think last time I was what was I saying last time?
I don't know. I don't really listen to what you have to say.
I know. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was a well-made film.
I did enjoy it. I have a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah. But it seems very much a product of its time right now. Like with the climate in America.
Yeah, it's
and of course it takes place in the 70s, and they're making parallels to what's happening now happened then, and everything is still happening. But
yeah, it's supposed to take place in 1972, but the actual events took place in 1979.
Okay,
I agree. It has a really important political message. I really liked the ending there with the.
The
news footage that you
didn't like. Yeah, because I felt like it was propaganda.
I just think the message is too important. You know, I just think it's too important not to say anything and just do it. I mean, it's fine by me. And I said last time, what I didn't appreciate was there's no need to dramatize these events so heavily with the bombing and all that garbage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no need. And plus, it's very on the surface. It's you don't really get to know anyone here, do you?
And no, it's a lot of stereotypes, really. And you have it's a comedy, you know.
Basically,
so it's more focused.
Yeah.
It's more focused on the payoffs,
mm-hmm.
the punchlines, rather than the actual story, even though the story is very important as well. So that's where the balance between the importance and the comedy kind of like puts a little bit it's
not
working for me that much, because I don't feel like it's a laughing matter in that sense, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I enjoyed the film. Let's just say that from the off. I thought it just didn't need the huge payoffs. It didn't need for him to take a picture with David Duke, brilliantly played by Topher Grace, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I really liked the music and the whole production design. Really liked that. Love Adam Driver, of course. How can you not love Adam Driver?
Adam Driver, though.
He plays him, though. Yeah.
He's
a role as Adam Driver. Recurring one.
Have you ever seen him as anything else? Even in Patterson, he's still Adam Driver, just
being
a poet.
Well, he's more relaxed Adam Driver, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about him. He has a way about him.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
there was some stuff you wouldn't have picked up on. In the beginning, right from the off. Oh yeah. Right from the off.
Really?
I was intrigued because it had the actor who plays Maryland State Senator Clay Davis in The Wire. He was the guy like interviewing John David Washington in the beginning, and like, are you ready to do this? And that was, he has this line in The Wire. He says, "Shit,
shit."
Yeah, but longer.
Yeah.
And every time he's one of those characters. Every time you see the actor now, you just fall in love.
You think,
yeah, shit. it's just that guy.
Yeah.
So he had a good feeling from the off.
Yeah, yeah. But then he's not really in the film that much after that.
He's not. But the music is great. And the whole kind of costumes and the whole hair and the era. Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot not love it.
Yes.
You know, it's great music from that time. And, and the style is just so perfect.
It is, but it's very it's very like, it doesn't cut deep at all.
No,
but I agree with the play little point he's trying to make, and I support that he's making it.
But there's also this feeling that it's okay that we're spoiling a little bit, right? The Black Klansman.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's it's ending on a positive note. You know, they actually prevail in their mission. And there's two endings that are both really good, you know, in this film. And then you get that really weird tacked on, like, this is how it is now sequence with real footage. And I talked about this last time. Maybe we should just play that comment. I think I said it really well.
I'm sure you did.
But I didn't lose respect for it, but I just thought it was not the right thing to do. It put me off a little bit.
Okay. Completely disagree with you there. I think the most
even though it's important.
Yeah, the most important moments was Harry Belafonte sitting down and talking to the folks, and then in the end that's kind of elevates it above the nonsense and the stylized thing. Again, I don't really get the Oscar nomination. I mean,
no.
I don't see how he can, and it's basically being rewarded for that very thing I don't like, which is adapted script. And with focus on the word adapted, because this is just, it's supposed to be a true story. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's inspired.
Yeah. I guess.
By true stories.
I guess.
True events.
I guess.
Pretty much like The Green Book, which is also inspired by true events.
Let's move on to Green Book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some guy called over here, a doctor. He's looking for a driver. You interested?
I am not a medical doctor. I'm a musician. I'm about to embark on a concert tour in the Deep South. What other experience do you have?
Public relations.
Do you foresee any issues in working for a black man?
You and the Deep South? There's gonna be problems.
Promise me you're gonna write me a letter.
No problems. Tell me that don't smell better.
I've never had fried chicken in my life.
You people love the fried chicken.
You have a very narrow assessment of me, Tony.
Yeah, right? I'm good. Either way,
I know. We'll be interacting with some of the wealthiest people in the country. It is my feeling that your diction could use some finessing.
Why are you breaking my balls?
Because you can do better, Mr. Badalonga.
Interestingly, Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers. I was surprised to see that.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
And Me, Myself, and Irene.
Me, Myself, and Irene,
great comedies.
those wacky comedies that I kind of like all of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The latter ones stuck on you.
No.
Those kind. Yeah. No.
There's something about the Hay Day ones.
Yeah.
Me, myself, and Irene, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
I mean, you have two Jim Carrey films there. I mean, it might be because
exactly.
of him also.
It might be connected.
Boom, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
So,
based on real events, I wasn't your countryman there, Viggo
yeah,
Mortensen.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah. Half Danish, but half basically Danish. Just Danish.
Yes.
You know,
as Tony.
As I said before, he's speaking Danish.
Yeah. So.
Therefore, there you go.
Danish American, is he? Or
yeah, he is.
Okay. Played an Italian American, Tony Vallelonga. Tony Vallelonga?
Yeah.
He just reminded me of Tony Poli Gualtieri from Sopranos a little bit.
Okay.
But I just, I thought, you know, in the beginning it was tough for me to see him as an Italian, but.
Yeah,
he pulled it off.
He pulled it off. He did. Yeah, I think so.
He did pull it off.
Yeah,
Ali.
It would have been better if he was like a Danish gangster and doing some Danish stuff over there. But that would have been too much of a stretch, I guess.
Yeah,
but he did it. He did that really well. Yeah, Italian thing.
Okay, great acting performances. I have to say, also. Ali Marshalla as Don Shirley, very good.
Yeah,
very good. This is a buddy movie, road movie kind of thing. Uh-huh. You know,
very light movie when it comes down to it.
It's certainly cuts deeper on the characters than Black Klansman, though.
Yeah,
it actually gives room to like his wife, who's pretty good. Played by Linda Cardellini?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was very obvious. Like, I don't know. That was everything is really good. Like, I think this movie in particular is just good. When you sit down, you start watching it, you're just being swept away. Because there's nothing offensive, nothing intrusive. I was sitting there thinking, like after 10 minutes, I haven't been thinking about any camera angles or anything this whole time because it's just this movie and it takes you from point A to point B.
It's, yeah.
And you're just being lulled into it. You know, it's, and that should, by all accounts, be really good.
That is absolutely fine. It's a buddy movie. It's a road movie. It's like opposites. Mm-hmm. They're like a total opposites, these guys.
Yeah,
total.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And period, of course. What I did like, and I'm thinking in context of Black Klansman, was that they didn't they didn't have the huge payoffs. It was a bit understated.
Yeah.
They could have done a lot more to get the emotional reaction, but it was somehow a little bit under the surface with all the racism and all the isms, sexism, homophobia, all that.
Yeah. I think it's very much due to like Don Shirley's stance, like the way they chose to show he reacted to it, like being the bigger man and accepting it in a different way. But yeah, it's true.
I mean, like that scene in the bar, Rune, they could have had Viggo take these guys out. They could have having him beat them up.
Yeah, like there's history a lot violence or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Well, they could have done, been excessive. But they didn't.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's very, very pleasant watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
With a very serious undertone, though.
Yeah. But then also, it doesn't want you to miss the point. It's always very focused on hinting at you to say, if you didn't see what we just tried to make you think, here you have another reaction shot or something where we like make you realize that something is going on. So like they really grab you by the hand and they pull you with them in this movie, which I don't really like. I think it was a bit heavy-handed with that. Like one scene in particular, just in the beginning, you have the Viggo Mortensen's character throw out two glasses that two black guys had been drinking off. And a little bit later, his wife is seeing it, and we have to have a reaction shot of her raising her eyebrows and picking them up and like doing those things. But you could actually have just made her see the glasses down there and you know the reaction. But like,
yeah, I agree.
There was a bit too much of that, like those reactions to show you what should you be taking away from this moment.
I think you're taking the biggest example of this here. It bothered me as well. It was a clumsy attempt to set some kind of a tone, like this is how he was before he went on this trip kind of thing. And I agree with you all the way. I think there are not many more of those.
It's not so many, I can count them on one hand at least. But it's just the point of the movie. Like they just really want to guide you. Like it's
a very well-known format, and they're working within that. Certainly, I'm just saying that they do it really well. What they're going for, they just do it really well, and it's a feel-good movie, of course, in the end.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a buddy film. And, with this scene I just highlighted, it's a little bit out of character of Viggo Mortensen, because his character never seemed to me all that racist. It might just be me, you know, and I don't know if you can bend the amount of racist you can be, but he seemed ignorant. He didn't seem blatantly racist. Also, the first time he meets Don Shirley, he doesn't like it. He might be a little bit uncomfortable with it. But the development from him just accepting being the driver of a black guy is very fast. And I think the one scene where he throws out glasses that black people have been drinking of kind of tries to make him seem even more racist than he might actually have been.
It was way over the top, I know.
It bugged me throughout the movie because he never seemed like this guy. Like some of his friends might have done that.
Yeah.
It seemed much more likely.
I'm thinking maybe they did it to kind of show us where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And then again, later on, we get to see him being discriminated against. Mm-hmm. So, That was a pretty nice point made there, I thought. There's discrimination everywhere. Yeah. It doesn't take away from the plight of black people at that time or any time.
No, it was very much a tale of discrimination like that. And
What I'm saying
I agree with that.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it's a good movie. I think when you're working within a structure like this, and you're using like well-known tropes and relying on stuff like, you know, the buddy movie. It's all well known. But when you do it like that, I mean, without the glasses, you know, and little silly mistakes like that, yeah. you can have something good and special. I think this is a pretty special film. I gave it 4. I was really pleased with it.
Yeah.
You don't always have to push the envelope. You can work within a structure and do really good stuff. That's what I'm saying. And it totally reached its potential, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, like to say something, like bring a comment from Alien, because I made her watch Black Klansman.
Yeah.
And she's a little bit fed up with these racial tension movies, like, because it's like there's so many of them and they're so uncomfortable to watch, you know, because you're getting so agitated with these themes, you know, that life is like this. And when I said, now we need to watch Green Book, it's this kind of racial tension film again, she was a little bit annoyed with it. But again, after like half an hour, she turned to me and said, I actually really enjoy this film, because it's a little bit lighthearted, but still it has all those themes and it makes you think about them a little bit, but it's not hard to watch, and there's enough lighthearted moments with Viggo Mortensen's character that you actually like are just being taken through it and are enjoying yourself, enjoying the time there. For me though, I was just too annoyed with those simple knots and the extreme need for hammering home their points. You know, one scene later on, they have a discussion about how pianists, or like a piano is not a table and you can't put whiskey on it, you know, or like a glass on it. And then there's kind of this subtle nod to it, like when they're Don Shirley and Viggo Mortensen's character is at a black bar, and Don Shirley is going up to show that he can play the piano. They have a shot far away from the stage, and I saw that there was obviously a glass of whiskey on the piano there, and it was so subtle. I thought it was great that they just had that there. But then he sits down, and obviously we have a shot, like close up of the glass. We have a shot of him taking the glass and putting it on the table. And then we have a shot of Viggo Mortensen laughing at it, just to be sure that we understood that this was a reference to their discussion they had previously. Mm-hmm. And for like, it would just be so nice if they just didn't cut it out in cardboard, as you say in Danish. and just leave it, you know, have this scene where like he sits down, he looks at the glass and he puts it away, you know, and you know that this is a thing, like, but it's, I know it's small details, but it just bugged me. And for that, I gave it 2.5 stars.
Okay. I get your point. I agree with it. I totally agree with it. But if you don't, give the people what they want, you have a totally different movie. This is just that kind of movie. And I just enjoyed it as such. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just put on those pants and this is, this is good. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on to the song and dance.
Yeah, you wanted to do some musicals now.
Yeah. I mean, too big. Films last year. Let's start with A Star Is Born.
Maybe it's time to let the old ways down. it's time to let the old ways die. It takes a lot to change, man. Hell, it takes a lot to try.
You know, man, in the old days, I always knew, like, you were gonna do something, that you'd be all right. It's the first time I'm worried about you.
Bradley Cooper's first first directorial, well, effort.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts?
One disclaimer right now is that I watched it in Boston.
Boston?
Boston.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was in November.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I had some thoughts on it back then.
Okay.
I might still have some thoughts.
All right.
But let me hear your thoughts first.
Okay.
And then I'll pick up on them.
Okay. I didn't expect much, but... Gaga, I have no idea what her name is. Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Her name is Lady Gaga.
Yeah, is it?
Like Madonna.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was surprisingly convincing in her role.
I think so too.
Yeah. I just...
You know, when I watched it, I completely forgot that it was Lady Gaga. And I was like, who is this person, really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not so much into pop culture.
No. I'm not so much into pop music, but
I neither.
Think, I mean, her performance in the end was uneven, I thought, but mostly very good. I don't really get it with the Oscar nomination, though, but okay, it's a big movie.
Yeah.
She's a big star. You know, this is how it goes. But
yeah.
I thought Cooper was great. I just thought he was a great... alcoholic addict, and I just loved his performance. I just don't get why he wasn't nominated. This is really strange for me to understand. I don't get it. He was such a convincing drunk, and
he was
very, very good performance, and he didn't get nominated, but Gaga did. What the fuck is up? Is he? I heard Chuck from Movie Crush. He was talking about it with his wife on their Oscar show,
okay,
and they were thinking, "What is it? What is it? What is it with Cooper and the Academy? Do they have something against him or something?" Because they were talking, he was really good in Silver Linings Playbook. Maybe he's just too pretty. What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, he's pretty.
I don't know. He's gotten a lot of slack for changing his voice for this role.
Yeah, didn't he do that?
Like making this raspy voice.
I mean, when you've been singing country rock and roll kind of music for better part of your life, I mean, I guess the voice felt right for the character.
I think it felt right, and they even put in this little explanation that he had stolen it from his big brother because he always had that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I completely bought it. I also thought his performance was really good. It was more like the script that I think it escalated a little bit quickly towards the end.
I thought so as well.
But I think he did a really good job. One thing I don't really know is what they wanted to say about music. Because you had this very strong focus of folk rock music in the beginning, and I loved the first half of it, but all of a sudden it became a little bit of an attack on pop music and how it doesn't have any quality, and then having Lady Gaga play that role of someone who's making pop music and is going on compromise, and I don't know if it's trying to be extremely clever
It's very confusing, I agree.
Yeah.
It's very confusing because he's not a fan, Cooper's character. He just basically said it has no merit at all, this pop crap.
Yeah.
There she is, the biggest pop star in the world, probably. And
yeah.
And she doesn't go back. You were half expecting her to go on the road with a cowboy hat there in the end, but...
yeah, she doesn't. And yeah, I just don't really get it.
Maybe your really own don't. Judgment is clouding your opinion. I mean, mine is certainly because, I mean, this pop garbage with the dancers and everything, who cares?
But what I don't know is if it was a joke... And they were making the pop music extremely bad. When I was watching it, I was thinking, this is really bad.
Was
so
bad?
But then the movie... Exactly.
You should turn on the radio. Is it so bad?
Yeah. I don't know. Uh-huh. but the movie also made it seem like maybe it wasn't so bad. But I was sitting there thinking, this is not really good at all.
The question is, like, what is Gaga saying? What is she saying?
What was she saying?
Another thing.
Then she ended up singing his song.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. I thought the scene with the on the Grammys was a bit too much. I mean, how do you come back from that? I mean, really.
Then again, that's the culture today. Like, you do something stupid one day, and then when you're famous, you can do something else, and then so everything is forgotten.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember anything like this, though.
No.
But still, I mean, I just...
But he held it through his solo on the guitar,
mm-hmm.
and that was very well done. I think the whole, like... I think that portrayal was pretty good. Like, it a completely wasted rock and roll star... And then he goes up there, plays a song, and everything is still in his fingers, and he can just do it completely intoxicated, no problem. And he was cool as hell right there when he played it. And then he was just a bit too drunk.
I mean, this is the essence of the movie, I guess, his trajectory, his arc, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing about his character is great. I mean, the whole losing his hearing,
yeah, that was just good.
His he rings absolutely true for me. Gaga, I don't know, for some parts she does. I loved the supporting cast. I mean, you had Andrew Dice Clay as her father, really good to see him. Remember him from Fort Fairlane and all that, stand-up comedian, huge in the 80s 90s.
I think I remember him, but I didn't know from what.
And you have, he seems to have a thing for comedians, because you have Eddie Griffin as officiating the wedding, and you have Dave Chappelle as his best friend.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
That was surprising. He was really un-Chappelle-like, I guess. He's really good.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. I love
him. I had just seen him live when I saw this movie. I was like, well, I just saw you.
Yeah. How was that?
In real life.
How was that? No?
It was not so good. No.
Really?
Yeah. Like, half of his show was okay. But then he moved a little bit too much into the Me Too movement at one point.
Okay.
And not knowing his crowd in Scandinavia here. And it was just a little bit of a mess. We were watching the stand-up show in an arena for, I don't know, 30, 50,000 people or something. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And everything went quiet when he started this joke about the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
And he was basically backtracking on stage up there, or like trying to defend his view. And it was not pretty. It was really ugly.
Okay.
And then it was with Jon Stewart, and Jon Stewart was good, though.
Okay.
I always liked Jon Stewart. Anyway,
I will always be giving Chappelle the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great in this film, and But like you say, it escalated really, really quickly there, and
also the beginning, really. But I enjoyed that.
Yes,
like the rise to fame. That was also extremely rapid. But I enjoyed it.
It's still over 2 hours. I mean, it would have to be 3 hours at this. I guess at this pace to really get to know. Well, really, really get the story. I don't know. Get it deeper. It was not a.
Yeah. It was a bit shallow.
It was a bit shallow. Yeah.
Shall we say?
Ooh, very Ooh. Well done there.
Speaking of the winning song of the Oscars,
people were
did
saying,
"Did you like the song?"
Yeah, I guess. I guess we'll talk about songs later when we talk about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay. Yeah.
But
you have the whole blueprint in your head. I know. Where are we going?
I don't know. Sure. But I thought, I don't know. This is, I mean, the music he was playing there, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like the kind of.
I thought it worked. It was very like tear jerking.
Shallow?
Song. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know, I heard it maybe for the first or the second time when I saw it. So, yeah. I'm not so much with the radio, Rune.
No. I heard it for the first time when I saw the film also.
Yeah. Okay.
but I see on Spotify it was the top song of that, like, of December in Denmark for a long time.
Yeah. You know. Okay.
It's also Lady Gaga.
I take my hat off to Lady Gaga. She, I think she's cool.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, and it's good that she's doing this film, and also she's saying a lot about her looks, and she's paying a lot of attention to her nose, for instance.
Wasn't that something like, just right out of her own life?
It was, and it. But still, it has this theme of accepting who you are and just going for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get bogged behind this like superficiality of your looks.
Sure.
It's what's inside.
But at the end of the day...
But then you have that whole thing with her changing her hair and saying, no, I don't want to change my hair. My hair is like this. And then the next shot you have of her, she has red hair, which is neither black or like blonde or brown, but then red. And then you're thinking, was that a compromise you made? Or did you just go with what your producer was saying anyway? I don't know. Like it has had a lot of mixed messages. Like, be yourself, but do what the producer tells you to do.
I mean, oftentimes we ask for less resolution, let us decide for ourselves. But here, we need a little more resolution, I think. It's very confusing there. And yes. What are you saying? I mean, is it by choice that you are not saying what you're saying? I mean, it's very average for me. I gave it 3, I think.
Yeah.
It's very average.
I think I gave it 3 as well because I was enjoying it. And one thing I did enjoy by watching this was that I watched it in the Coolidge Corner Theater.
Yes.
In Boston.
Boston.
With a lot of Americans. And I enjoyed the scenes where they were laughing a lot. And I was sitting there thinking, you really think this was so funny? It was like this fish
and,
out of
and
water
it had
thing.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Always will. Okay, moving on.
Okay, next film.
Next up, Bohemian Rhapsody. I watched this last night. As did you, I think.
As did I. Yeah.
I enjoyed the show.
I also write songs.
Our lead singer just quit.
Then you'll need someone new.
I love the way you move on stage. The whole room belongs to you. Don't you see what you could be?
No one will play us on the radio.
We need to get experimental.
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Do it again.
One more.
How many more Galileos do you want?
Roger, there's only room in this band for one hysterical.
This was very glossy. Very glossy and very sanitized, I thought.
Very inoffensive.
Very inoffensive. Very Brian May-like. Or Roger Taylor-like.
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe.
They were consulting on the film. It is also the story of Queen. I mean, it's not just Freddie, but...
It seemed to me like a very generic band film.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the peaks and all the marks that you would have in a band film. You have the forming, you have the performing really well.
Infighting. Then you have
the disasters and infighting. And then the reconciliation.
Yeah, the brotherhood and the family and all that.
Yeah.
But.
So. Yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay.
You didn't like Rami Malek being awarded an Oscar statue, did you?
No, I told you earlier.
Like, yeah. You were not pleased. Tell me why.
I will tell you why. I always saw Rami Malek in this performance. I saw Freddie Mercury sometimes, but he kept like sliding in and out of
Am I supposed to know him? Rami Malek from something else?
Yeah, for instance, Mr. Robot, the TV series.
Nope.
Also a video game called Until Dawn.
Ah, okay.
Where that was actually the first time I saw him. And he has a very particular look, Rami Malek. He has these very like distinct eyes. And I just felt like I always saw him in his performance. And then it annoyed me that it was Freddie Mercury singing. It was definitely not him singing as
I don't think
Freddie
it was,
Mercury.
I think it was. Was it always Freddie Mercury? Wasn't it some?
I was always thinking, okay, they found the actual recording of this song and they isolated his voice and put that in.
Obviously, like it wasn't Rami Malek singing. I mean, he's not a singer.
Yeah. No,
but
I'm pretty sure it was Freddie Mercury. All the time,
you get easily annoyed with stuff. I haven't seen Mr. Robot or played that Dawn game, but I liked him. I can see why people like it. And
I really like Rami Malek, though.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. It's just
I was just about to get you wrong.
Yeah, you were. I like him in Mr. Robot, and I like him as an actor. I also like him in Until Dawn. I liked him here as well. He did a good job for what he was asked to do.
Well, the director is Bryan Singer for Bryan most Singer. Part, but then he was fired at some point. Another one of those
due to some misconduct.
Yes, another one of those rape, sexual misconduct allegations from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, he likes young boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough about him. I gotta tell you, I was in tears.
Really?
Hang on. The movie.
Wow.
The movie.
Yeah.
So and so, you know, like you said, it's very band, very clean, very
generic,
very, very innocent, like, and I don't know, but the music, I was just cranking it up. Yeah. It's Queen.
Yes.
And I put this to you. I mean, I'm not a Queen fan, but can anyone not be a Queen fan?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because you know, I was in tears just listening and singing, and I was alone. And I cranked it up as high as I could here. My wife and my son were sleeping, but I loved just the music elevated it so much. I mean, I don't really rate the movie that highly, but I gotta tell you, no. I really enjoyed the music and
but you rate Queen highly because they are really good.
Obviously.
They were really good.
Obviously. Yes, yeah. Yes.
One thing that the movie made me think of was how did a song like Bohemian Rhapsody actually come into existence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just such a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
That it's, yeah. I don't know if they really explained how that happened.
That whole thing with the record producer, and it was very silly. It was very silly, and
but it was something I thought of, and the movie made me want to listen to more Queen, and I really like after I watched it. I went on YouTube. It was 12:30 at night and I had to go to work next day, you know, but I went on YouTube and I watched like the whole performance on for Live Aid,
yeah.
Like the actual one,
yeah,
and also then the David Bowie performances of Live Aid, and I watched some other Live Aid performances,
yeah.
But you know, Queen was just such a big thing. Also when I was a kid, I am 10 years younger than you.
Yes, you are 10 years my junior.
But I still had a VHS tape with the tribute to Queen from when he died. And MTV was broadcasting so many Queen's music videos and performances and all that kind of stuff.
You were like 7 when he died, wasn't he? You're like 84?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died in 1991.
Yeah. Yeah, and I loved Queen back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Miracle.
Okay.
It's a miracle. Yeah. Oh, wow, that was very David Bowie-ish. It's a miracle. but yeah, the music video of that video or that song is a lot of kids pretending to be Freddie Mercury, and it resonated with me at the time because I was probably also a kid.
Yeah I don't really think we should spend that much more time on this. I've said my piece, I guess. I loved it for the reasons I explained, but as a movie, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit lazy, and it felt a little bit like whoever is in charge of Freddie Mercury's legacy didn't want any compromising detail out.
Oh my God.
That had not already been leaked.
Well, there's a single kiss, I think.
Yeah, that was
two.
It.
There's the assistant, the evil assistant as well.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Evil assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an evil assistant. All right.
Yeah. So, I would want the movie where Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to it.
Well, he's taller. He would make a better, physically, I guess, better.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't care.
It'll never come to pass.
Very good couple of hours for me.
I was extremely bored.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was.
I have this thing where when I sing along a lot, I get tears, teary-eyed. And it just,
when you sing along?
Yeah. It just got me.
Oh, yeah, but that gets me when I see it also in real life, You know, like the actual concerts when actual people are singing along to their songs. And it's a completely real thing that they were talking about, because a lot of Queen songs are very sing-along-y,
you know? Okay. But yeah. Also very good.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful when a lot, like a big mob of people are singing your songs. It must be so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And putting you in that shit situation is just, that is amazing.
3.5 for me for entertainment value.
Yeah. I think mine was only 2 stars.
All right.
Yes. But go on YouTube and search for Live Aid and find the Queen performance and see the actual Freddie Mercury and Brian May and what's his name?
Roger Taylor. And I think the bass player is called something Deacon.
Yeah.
What was it?
So sad for the bass player. Always getting left behind.
John Deacon. That's it. John Deacon. Okay. But finally, this is drawing to a close. Finally, we are going to talk about Roma.
Best foreign film and best cinematography win.
Yeah, and Oscars. Probably should have gotten best film. I'll just proclaim that now right away.
Over The Favorite?
It's up there with The Favorite for me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I would definitely go for The Favorite.
Yeah.
Because it was much more like stylistically daring and like, it was a different kind of film. Like I'm more for the experimental.
I get it. Stuff. But let's start with Roma. First, just the color.
Yeah,
just the look, the color. I, me being colorblind, I'd rarely comment on this, but yeah, I thought it was just beautiful.
You know it was black and white, right?
Obviously.
Yeah.
But it was the type of black and white that, I don't know, it seemed fitting. And you didn't think, this is black and white.
No. I was thinking, why did they go for black and white here? But apparently they shot the film in color.
And then
extracted the color and made it black and white, and had a lot of dynamic range in the shots. So it has a very particular feel, and every single shot has been nurtured.
It felt like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I noticed just in the credits that they were like naming people who. I don't know. It was just all in Spanish or Mexican, but it like colorization of dailies or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had like 2 or 3 people on just on that. Mm-hmm. I know this is something I noticed. So I thought as much they had been shot in color, but yeah, I really enjoyed the, it somehow felt 70s as a result as well. This is Mexico City in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. We have we have an indigenous maid at kind of European Mexican educated people's house.
Yeah.
You kind of have a lot of political backdrop. Did you get that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You also had that massacre and
the Corpus Christi massacre. Yeah.
Yeah. That I had to look up, like, what was going on there. Yeah.
Just from the first moment when she's doing the floors and slowly appearing in the in the water, it somehow felt to me, I was taken in. It felt real. Struggle is real, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to wash off that shit.
Yeah.
Every day.
I wrote down, what is with that fucking dog? No one plays with it. He's just shitting all over the place.
He's just there. Yeah.
He's just there. Yeah.
I was always expecting something to happen with the dog. There needed to be something with the dog.
I said as much to Shep, okay. You'll see that something is going to happen to the dog or regarding the dog. But nothing happened to the dog.
Nothing happened.
No, it was just there.
And you could say for the whole movie, nothing really happened.
Oh, that's my kind of movie.
Yeah.
You get a snapshot into the lives of these people and you...
you do. And all the drama
and all
that
the
entails.
Drama under the surface. I really liked the camera as well. It was moving somewhat, but it was also
moving, but it was never handheld though.
No, it was not handheld, and it was tracking someone. It was panning a lot, and it was on the move, but it didn't interfere. I thought.
I think it was great actually because there were so many panning shots of almost 360. Degree pans where you had the main actress walking and doing things all the way and everything was like perfectly synchronized with the panning of the shot, and I don't know, it was really pleasant to watch, and it made you realize how the space was that she was operating in, and this was her life.
Yeah.
She was always in this house behind the gates.
And it was often...
with all the shit.
And it was often placed low as well. The camera.
You love that low camera angle.
Did you notice? I watched it on Netflix. I think I made a mistake in that. I should have watched it in the theater. They're still playing here in Pia Paradiso. I should have... gone to that.
Everybody says that, you should have watched it there. But also due to the sound design.
Yeah. The Netflix text, they have the Mexican dialects in brackets. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because...
it is.
Obviously, you start to think, okay. And I know nothing about Mexico. Apparently. So I started looking things up, indigenous people of Mexico, and there's this whole thing. If I hadn't looked it up, I wouldn't have made a note of it, probably.
No. Okay.
You know, but you have this indigenous people that can trace their lineage long way back. And then you have the European stock coming in at some point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all, it's a little bit about that. You had the very tall grandmother there, obviously European.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's also to do with the political background there, I think. You have a lot of... remember when Fermón said, "You servant."
Yeah.
There was a lot of subtext we didn't even get.
Yes, a lot of stuff like went over my head, I think, and it felt very personal. Also,
yeah,
it's apparently from his past like the director's past also. Apparently it's a replica of his house, even.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of his own life in this film. But,
okay.
You know, when I was watching it, then seeing that protest, like the student protest,
mm-hmm.
You're thinking, this is something I don't know about, but it probably situates this film very precisely for a lot of people who who know about this area.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I felt, yeah. I'm just scratching the surface here, just...
Yeah,
just trying to know a few things about what's going on mm-hmm. there.
Yeah,
the pacing of the whole thing. This is you kind of know my taste by now. The pacing of the whole thing is very slow burn and just very mundane acts all the way. She's washing a lot, and she's doing the floors and. But it's all very loving as well.
Stuff will
with the kids.
You think a lot of stuff will happen.
Yeah.
But it actually doesn't.
But, well, a lot of stuff
some does happen. Yeah. I know. But
I mean,
you could argue that, like, the beginning and the end is almost the same, but people have moved a bit.
A bit, yes. This is what actually happens in life, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. So it's
a little bit connected to Green Book because you have a lot of racism and stuff. But there's no, in that film, there's no like, no one gets cut. No one's getting like knifed. And it's just stuff happens in life. But it's not always high drama.
No.
Okay. That scene with the birth and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No editing scene.
Yeah, yeah.
What a great scene.
It was a very good scene. And I just, I was always thinking, why are they doing this to the kid in front of the mother? Why?
It's just, I don't know. It was a tough scene.
It was a tough scene.
Also, the scene in the end there with the waves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did they do that? Must be a pool. It must be. It can't be. No. It can't be like that. You think?
Could be.
Possible that there's like a little pier where they have the camera, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking it's trick.
It could be triggery.
Yeah.
Could be triggery. It's easier to do with black and white even, I guess. You don't have to match the colors either.
Sure. but done.
But it was a very effectful scene.
Yeah.
And that spoke to me a lot, you know, like also with my background as a swimming instructor.
Yeah.
yeah. Wow. There a lot of strong scenes and
very slow burn, grounded kind of experience, I thought, and I feel I'm better for it, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those films that you just...
probably. I watched it in four sittings, though.
Yeah, it's not good.
Because I fell asleep.
It's not good.
All the time, because I've been kind of, you know, a lot of stuff has been going on, you know? And the movie didn't benefit from it.
I guess. I get
because you don't get into the feeling and the mentality as much when you keep on coming back to it like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely not the film that you should do that to either. You need to sit down and watch it.
I did that. Me and Shep did that. She was, it was the night of the big birthday party. We were just completely wiped. And I said, we gotta do this. We gotta do this. And she was like, you do it.
To this podcast, we need to do it.
Yeah, we're doing this for the team. And she said, you do it. I'm going upstairs. I said, just, you know, give it 5 minutes. See if you like it.
Yeah.
You can fall asleep here if you want. And she watched it all the way through. And she didn't take her eyes off it. Neither did I.
Wow.
Great film. Great film.
Yeah. Definitely deserving of the best foreign film.
Absolutely.
And it's an odd thing that it can win best foreign, but not the best film.
Yeah.
It was nominated for that one.
The Oscars are odd.
They are very odd, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I think I gave it 4.5.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't. I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah. Okay.
But because
I'm giving you 3 stars for doing it in 4 sittings, man.
Yeah.
You're getting an average rating for this rating.
That is probably one of the reasons why. But it didn't speak to me that much.
Yeah.
But I think most of it is because I did it in 4 sittings. I don't have the background to appreciate what's going on, like the subtle things that are going on in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit bored once in a while, but I thought it was beautifully shot.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good performances from the main actress there.
Very good. She's great.
Who is just like, she's kind of unexpressive. But it seemed like it was due to her position in life that there was just nothing for her somehow. She had accepted her position. And that was really tough to watch, you know.
You know? I got that Ozu feeling right there.
Yeah.
Very understated emotionally. But with a really strong kind of a, I don't know how to say it, emotional center somehow, the whole film. Yeah. And she was great. She was just great for this role. And she is owed a lot, I think, for how it came out. I gave 18 stars for these five films. I'm the generous one here.
Yeah,
I'm the generous one here.
I see. I'm just not passing the 3 stars really for any of them.
Yeah.
One movie I gave more than 3 stars.
Yeah.
Was the new Spider-Man film.
Ah.
My name is Peter Parker. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a serial, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
Spider-Man swings in once a day, zip-zaps up in his little mask and answers to no one. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I want to hear it.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
I finally got to watch that one. When you said you wanted to make this potpourri of a show, I thought I need to catch up with the best animated film of the year.
Obviously, you had to do that.
According to Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And story-wise, I would say it is commendable that they made it so understandable, even though there's so many dimensions in play here. But I didn't feel like it was like the greatest story ever.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this animation style.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Can I just ask? I asked you at the time. Yeah. I even sent you a file from the theater. Yeah. Did you get that feeling I got? That should I be wearing 3D glasses here?
I was thinking about it when I watched it because of that statement.
Yeah.
And I do think that the reason why you felt like you should have been wearing 3D glasses is that the frame rate is kind of low. It's not completely 24 frames a second, so you see the jerky movements of them. And of all the characters. And then it seems like they try to make this motion blur of the background. So the motion blur is a little bit in lower a lower frame rate. So it seems like there's double.
Is that the thing that we start when we buy a new TV to remove from the picture? Is that the same thing?
No, it's not this extra hertz kind of thing. Motion plus. Okay. Motion blur is when you're moving really fast, for instance, and you're recording it on a camera, then you shouldn't be clear in every single frame. You should be blurry.
Because that shows
movement. So a lot of these background images were actually kind of blurry and double, and it made for a very particular style. And sometimes I was a little bit confused with those.
All right.
Yes. But it fitted so well in the whole style, and it was so unapologetic. It was just going for this visual style all the way through, and I loved that. You know, I gave it 3.5 star, but I gave it a heart.
I gave it 4.
Okay,
I really liked it.
Wow,
I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was because I was thinking the story is still this kind of superhero underdog story. It didn't do anything extremely special for the story that it did for the animation style.
Uh-huh.
If it had done something equally amazing in the storyline as it did in the animation style, this would be perfect.
I don't know. The story doesn't really matter in this kind of film for me. At least it didn't this time around. Yeah.
No.
Can I just tell you
something? I think
there
was too many action scenes and things that was just like, I don't need this.
Yeah. My judgment is clouded because I was with Simile at the theater.
And he enjoyed it.
Well, he was a bit scared, but but he enjoyed it as well. I noticed that you gave Black Klansman 4 stars. Is that a mistake?
I noticed that now. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay, let's count it up. 4, 3, 2. That is 9. 11.5. And where is it?
It's far down.
Yeah. It's October. Star is Born 3. 14.5.
That's not good.
That is not good. No.
14.5 by 5. 2.9.
You have 2.9 for these 5. Except the spider thing. And I have 3.6. I'm the generous one.
Middle of the road.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 3.6 for 5 heavily nominated film is not really that high a score, would you say?
No. It should really be closer to the 4.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think we've blathered on enough, don't you think?
We totally nailed the 1 hour mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there.
That was what we were aiming for. Yeah. And we made it just well past it.
Just half an hour off it, man. It's pretty damn good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
So next time, we're probably going to go back to a little bit of our usual format.
Yeah.
If we find a movie we can watch. Now things are settling down here at our place. Obviously, we have to have a birthday party this weekend.
Yeah.
But then after that, smooth sailing until the birth.
Yeah, this was kind of done so we could clear the decks of the Oscar nonsense and just get back to the good stuff. How about it? Or the bad stuff.
Yeah. Or the bad stuff.
Our stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, there is that They Shall Never Grow Old. It's being shown in the cinemas here in 3D.
Yes, let's do that.
I really want to watch it.
Let's do that next time. We'll see.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
But thanks for talking to me tonight.
Yeah, it's and thanks for listening, folks. I mean, it's luckily it's just almost a year until the next Oscars, so just try to enjoy it.
Yeah. As always, you can find us on all the social media platforms: Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud. Just do a search for The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast, and go to our website, theconversationpodcast.net.
Yeah, it's a great website. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
We're getting comments over there, and you can join in on the fun.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. You can also send us an email at contact@theconversationpodcast.net. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Okay. I think this is it. So, folks, until next time, take care of yourselves. Bye.